Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow down before you and just so thankful for your word, and we thank you for how timely your word is, written 2,000-3,000 years ago, and it's just exactly what we need each time we're in it by your Spirit. So speak to us today in Psalm 55, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this psalm is entitled, A Trust in God Concerning the Treachery of Friends. And the treachery of friends is one of the themes in here, but there's another theme in here that for me, overwhelms that theme, and that's the theme of being burdened down. How many of you feel ever burdened down? So we have something for us today, I believe. And so we read in the key verse, really, of this psalm is Psalm verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So let's begin with this old Maranatha song, Cast Your Cares. I cast all my cares upon you. Cast all my cares upon you. Let's read Psalm 55, the 23 verses, and then we'll go back and look at it a little bit. Trust in God concerning treachery of friends is the title in my Bible. To the chief musician, with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne, in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is their dwelling. Wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And the Lord shall save me, evening and morning and at noon. I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. And verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. There are several extremes in this psalm that I was not really as familiar with as I am now, because I spent some time on it. But the tremendous problem that David had, and we think is unlikely, is most likely the time that Absalom rebelled against him, and Ahithophel, his trusted advisor, joined in Absalom. And then I think we see more in Absalom than I had seen before. My heart was always kind of with Absalom. You know, Absalom was Bathsheba's grandfather. And here were these two old guys, Ahithophel and David, close, worshiping together, counseling together, being together. And now what does David do to his granddaughter? Violates her. A baby is produced. He kills her husband and looks like a hero for about a year until the Lord convicts him. And so I'm sure all that time Ahithophel's hatred was just growing and growing and growing. But we will see that doesn't excuse Ahithophel. I don't care what reason you have to go against somebody. He went way beyond. He went so far. Why did he kill himself? I think he killed himself because he found out he wouldn't have a good position in Absalom's kingdom. He wanted the position in the kingdom. And when Absalom did not follow his advice, but followed Hushai's advice, then he went out and hung himself. So his hatred killed him. And the treachery that he was willing to enter into was to betray all of Israel. Because he knew Absalom was no good. He knew Absalom was up nothing. But he just wanted part of the action, you know. So he's just a man like we are, right? He's not all righteous any more than any of us, really. But we begin Here is David. Now he's fleeing for his very life. And he's got such a heart for Israel, he doesn't want Jerusalem destroyed in a war. So he flees the city to save the city. Now he's old. He can't go out and fight the battles himself anymore. But he is literally, looks like there's no hope for him because Israel has turned against him. And like a lot of revolutionary things, the people join that cause. They think it's something new and exciting, and they turn away from something that's really good to something that's really bad. So now, here David comes. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. I think a believer wants to do more than just pray, particularly when things are really critically important. They want to make sure God hears them. And they're asking for an answer. So here's David. Give ear to my prayer. Listen up, Lord, listen up. I mean, I know you're listening, Lord, but I'm really into this one. And I want you to hear it. And do not hide yourself from it. Attend to me and hear me. And then listen to this. This is so typical of me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. You're just wandering all over the place. You're trying to pray, and then this thing hits you, and you go over here, and you go over there, and you're just making noise. Maybe that doesn't happen to you. It happens to me. But I can see here the faithfulness of the Lord, even when you can't even ask what you want to ask, and even when you do ask what you ask, what does he do? He gives you blessing more than you ever asked, because he's so good. But now David mentions three specific problems here. Because of the voice of the enemy, number one, because of the oppression of the wicked. There's tremendous oppression going on. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. I see so many parallels in this psalm between what's going on in this nation today, as we'll get into it here as we continue on. So he cries out, my heart is severely pained within me. I can't imagine what he was going through. Here's the king, after all these years, fighting, giving his all for the nation. Now it's all being ripped apart, and they've turned against him. My heart is severely pained, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. I have never really experienced that. I've never really experienced that I thought I was going to lose my life. Really. I mean, a few times I thought, well, you know, seeing a car coming at you or something, this may be it, but you know. But I'm talking about having a whole nation out trying to kill you. He'd already had that with Saul for a long time in preparation for all this. But notice this. It says, fallen upon me. It is so great, it even seems like it's coming down from the Lord, or it's coming down upon me from heaven. I mean, it's just falling on me. It's not just on a horizontal here. This has got some vertical thoughts to it. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come over me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Now that's a man in trouble. So what do we tend to do? We tend to flee from that. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. But he can't. He's the king. He's got all this nation depending on what he does. He's not a free man like we are, where we only have to worry about ourselves and our own skin and maybe for our family. He's got this whole nation, so he can't take off. But that's what his heart wants to do. Just, I want to get out of this. I just want to get away from this pressure, get away from this pain. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And now he goes into a typical deprecatory prayer, which we have to be careful with because that's not the way Jesus would pray, at least part of it. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Now, I also see some prophecy here, and I also see some confidence in the Lord here as well as what the Lord's going to do. This is a little bit like the Tower of Babel. Divide their tongues, confuse their language. I think that's a good prayer. and destroy what they're doing that's evil. Don't destroy them, but destroy the evil. He says, for I've seen violence and strife in this city. You see any violence and strife in our cities these days? And you see them working like they are here to promote that? Day and night, they go around it on its walls, you know, putting piles of bricks out so people have bricks to throw at the police and all that kind of stuff. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. How true. There's always those paid protesters out there. And the enemy just wants to destroy this nation. Verse 11, destruction is in its midst. I hear all of Detroit is pretty much destroyed now. Huge amounts of Detroit destroyed. The industry is all left there. Lots leaving Chicago. And I mean, our cities are just a wreck. Destruction is in its midst, and then oppression and deceit. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. You know, every time I see one of these DAs or Mayor Lightfoot from Chicago, whoever it is, it's just oppression and deceit. Oppression, oppression, and deceit. Verse 12, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him, but it was you, a man of my equal, my companion, and notice it doesn't say my friend, he says my acquaintance at this point. Two names come to mind there. One is Ahithophel and the other is Judas Iscariot, right? Everything we see in here that David went through, our Lord went through a hundredfold. Judas betraying our Lord. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne. I think of Judas with Jesus at all of those times of miracles and watching the different things, and yet would turn on his Savior, turn on his Master because of being led by the evil one, I guess. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. Well, I'm not sure that's the best prayer for us, but we do want to come against the wickedness of them, and we want to come against the things that they are doing that cause so much damage. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. That's what they're doing right now, calculating how can we bring this nation down. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. Not long after this prayer, Ahithophel hung himself. Absalom got hung by a tree. At least 20,000 soldiers, it's estimated, that were with Absalom were killed. So the enemy was destroyed. Now, here's what you do when you get all burdened down. You got this, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. And as I read that, I just thought about this meditation here that I'll read out of before the end of the day. But morning and evening. Well, this is evening and morning. So in his book here, he's suggesting the morning is from Isaiah 50 and the evening is from Psalm 63, which is good. But I look at this and I say, in Israel, the day starts at night. So the day starts with evening and goes to morning. We here start at morning and go to evening. So our version of, in my opinion, our version of evening and morning is morning and evening. Anyway, that's what I like to think when I see this. But evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. Does that fit you at all? Do you find that sweetness when you take it to the Lord and leave it there? God will hear and afflict them. You can bet on that. Even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. And just having completed the Revelation study, we see exactly what happens in the Revelation in the Great Tribulation. As it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, they just continue to blaspheme God. They don't turn. They don't turn. No matter how bad the pressure gets, they don't turn. Verse 20, he has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. Talking about Ahithophel now again, I believe. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So I see that Ahithophel, as he is hating David, he is setting up himself now to turn so far away from what's right, he joins the opposition that wants to destroy a nation, that wants to destroy Israel, and he wants part of it. And when he finds out he doesn't get a part of it, he goes out and hangs himself. Seems to me. But here, apparently, his words were smoother than butter. War was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Or you can put Judas Iscariot in there, too. It fits him as well. And maybe some other cases, I don't know. So then what is the line? Bottom line, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be removed. So as affliction hits you, as difficulties hit you, as treachery hits you, it's best to receive it cheerfully and give it to the Lord. Let him handle it, because you can't. It'll tear you to pieces. Bloodthirsty. Well, no, first verse 23. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And they certainly didn't hear. I guess Ahithophel lived more than half of his days, but he didn't live too long after he got involved in this, did he? But I will trust in you. What a great place to end. No better place to put your confidence in him. And when we close today, I'm going to read Spurgeon's morning and evening meditation on this verse 22, and it's very enlightening. Not more enlightening than the word, but it does confirm a number of these things, I think. Well, Father, we thank you for the psalm, Lord, and we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for prayer, Lord. So important to bring things to you, just as you lay them on our hearts by your Spirit. And so, Lord, as we gather here together in one accord, led by one Spirit, may we redeem these few moments by praying as you would lead us. In Jesus' name, let's pray. We come to the end of the hour here. We want to remember how this psalm closes. But I will trust in you. Let's sing this song. We will not be shaken, for we trust in our God and through his unfailing love.
Unfailing love, we will not be shaken.
Father, we thank you that we can trust in you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So close today, as you actually have two page fours on your notes, not because it was intentional, it was a mistake. But anyway, you got a couple extra. You got another page there of Spurgeon's stuff, which we'll just read because this is it's just a man's comments, but you know, he spends a lot of time in the Psalms, and he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee," which is the 22nd verse we've had today. Care, even though exercised upon legitimate objects, if carried to excess, has in it the nature of sin. Have you ever considered that? When you go around with the cares of the world, oh, I'm so burdened. Oh, I'm so burdened. I hope not. We probably wouldn't say that, but sometimes we show it. The precept to avoid anxious care is earnestly inculcated by our Savior again and again. It is reiterated by the apostles, and it is one which cannot be neglected without involving transgression. For the very essence of anxious care is the imagining that we are wiser than God, and the thrusting ourselves into His place to do for Him that which He has undertaken to do for us. I don't know if this is nailing you or not, but oh, it's sure nailing me. We attempt to think of that which we fancy He will forget. We labor to take upon ourselves our weary burden as if He were unable or unwilling to take it for us. Now this disobedience to His plain precept, this unbelief in His word, this presumption in intruding upon His providence is all sinful. Yet more than this, anxious care often leads to acts of sin. He who cannot calmly leave his affairs in God's hands, but will carry his own burden, is very likely to be tempted to use wrong means to help himself. This sin leads to a forsaking of God as our counselor and resorting instead to human wisdom. So all those prayers for wisdom, I hope you're praying for godly wisdom, not human wisdom, because we don't need more of that. This is going to the broken cistern instead of to the fountain, a sin which was laid against Israel of old. Anxiety makes us doubt God's loving kindness, and thus our love to Him grows cold. We feel mistrust, and thus grieve the Spirit of God, so that our prayers become hindered, our consistent example marred, and our life one of self-seeking. I think this psalm, this was written for me. I don't know. It's got my name on it here somewhere. Thus, want of confidence in God leads us to wander far from Him. But if through simple faith in His promise, we cast each burden as it comes upon Him and are careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, because He undertakes to care for us, it will keep us close to Him and strengthen us against much temptation. That will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because He trusts us in Thee. Well, Father, we thank You for that exhortation and that encouragement. And Lord, as we all have some conviction, I would think, every time we open the Word, and sometimes more than others, but help us respond to that conviction in Your way and help us to trust You more. And Lord, just as we close, I want to thank You for this nation. I think we need to stand for it. There's no place even comes close to this nation. So people who say they want to leave here, they don't know what they're talking about. But they are believing the lie of the enemy who says this is a bad place. They're believing the lie of the enemy that says we have bad health care. There's believing the lie of the enemy that we are making slaves out of other races and all that other stuff that's going on, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to recognize the slavery that we are in. We are bond slaves to You for all eternity, willingly and happily. And Lord, this nation, which is laid out by you. If we don't like this nation, we're coming against you. I'm not talking about the bad behavior and all that. We have the best constitution in the world. Nothing even comes close to it. But we have people who don't want to keep it. They want to go around it, just like they want to go around your word. They don't want your commandments even in the classroom or in the courtroom or in any room. And so it's all a problem of having God removed. And we know your word says so clearly, when you remove God, until you turn back to God, you're on a path downward all the way down to the pit. And so that's what we see the godless nation moving toward, as every other godless nation moves toward. So Lord, help us to be what you would have us to be in these final days. Bless each one here because they came, and may we cry out to you with expectancy and leave it in your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.